Welcome in. Today we're doing a reference track workflows masterclass for DJ friendly drum and bass sets in Ableton Live, beginner level, but with a pro mindset. And I want to reframe what referencing actually is. It's not just chasing that shiny sounds like the pros finish. In drum and bass, referencing is your shortcut to DJ proof structure, clean 16 and 32 bar phrasing, intros and outros that actually mix, and an energy curve that doesn't randomly fall apart halfway through the tune. On top of that, it keeps your low end honest, it helps your drums hit with confidence, and it stops you guessing your way through loudness and tonal balance. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a reusable Ableton template where you can drop in a Pro DNB tune, lock it to the grid, map its phrasing with markers, and a slash beat against your own drums and bass in a way that's fast, fair, and repeatable. Alright, let's set this up from the top. Step 0. Choose the right reference track, because this decides how smooth everything else goes. Pick 1, maybe 2 tracks maximum per project. If you load 5 or 10 references, you're going to average them in your brain and end up with no clear target. Choose something from the same subgenre you're aiming for. Roller, jungle, neuro, jump up, techie, and keep it close in tempo, usually 170 to 175. Also, pick something you trust on multiple systems. Even better, pick a tune you've actually DJed. If it mixes well in a set, it's already teaching you arrangement and DJ function. Now step 1. Import the reference audio and set it up properly. In Ableton, drag your reference track into a new audio track and name it something obvious like REF, track name. Do yourself a favor and color it bright red. You want your reference to scream "Don't edit me." Click the audio clip and turn warp on. For a mastered commercial track, Complex or Complex Pro is usually the cleanest starting point. Then set the SIG BPM close to your project, like 174. Now the key move. Align the downbeat. Grab through the intro and find the first clean one that makes sense for DJ counting. Often that's the first kick, but sometimes it's the point where the drums really establish. When you find it, right-click and choose set 1.1.1 here. Then confirm it stays on grid. Jump forward to the drop. If the drop is drifting off the bar lines, add warp markers and nudge until the drop hits exactly on a bar line. Your goal is simple. The reference should lock to the grid so you can copy the phrasing and energy changes without guessing. Quick teacher note here. Don't obsess over microscopic warp perfection on every transient. For this workflow, what matters most is that the section starts and phrase boundaries land correctly. The intro, drums in point, drop, breakdown, drop 2, outro. That's the DJ map. Step 2. Make the reference safe, so you don't get tricked by loudness. A mastered track is almost always louder than your work in progress. If you compare them raw, your brain will keep pushing your mix louder instead of better. So on the reference track, add utility and pull the gain down between minus 6 and minus 10 dB. Start at minus 8 and keep it consistent for the session. This is one of the highest impact beginner habits you can build. Optional but useful. Put a limiter on your master while producing, just as a safety net. Set the ceiling to minus 1 dB, but don't slam it. This is not mastering, it's peak protection while you build. Step 3. Set up a slash B switching so you can compare fast. Fast referencing is the whole point. If it takes you 30 seconds to set up a comparison, you won't do it consistently. The simplest method is solo a slash B. Keep your reference track separate from your music, and just solo one or the other. Clean, easy. A slightly cleaner mindset. Keep the reference outside any group processing. Meaning, don't route it through your drum bus, bass bus, or your mix bus glue compressor. You want to compare your music processing against a reference, not compare a reference that you accidentally process to. And here's a pro workflow vibe you can steal. Map 2 keys to toggle your music bus and reference track on and off. That way a slash B feels like a switch, not like you're hunting solo buttons. Step 4. Map the reference arrangement with markers, using DJ-friendly phrasing. This is where drum and bass arrangement becomes easy instead of mysterious. Go into Arrangement View, play the reference, and drop locators at the section boundaries and important phrase changes. You want markers for intro start, where drums fully enter, any 8 or 16 bar switches, pre-drop fills, drop 1, breakdown, drop 2, and the outro or mix out. Name them with bar logic, like intro 32, drums in 16, pre-drop 8, drop 164, break 32, drop 264, outro 32 to 64. A typical DJ-friendly DNB skeleton goes like this. Intro 32 bars, then a drum intro 16 to 32 bars, then drop 64, breakdown 16 to 32, drop 264, Outro 32-64. You're basically building something a DJ can mix without praying. Expansion coach move. Make your reference DJ usable inside live. Don't just add section markers. Add mix moment markers. Put a locator for mix and start, like where a DJ would start blending. Put one for sub enters, which is often in the last 8 bars of the intro. Put one for lead clears or vocal clears, where there's space to layer another tune. Then use loop braces. Set 8 or 16 bar loops on those moments, so you can instantly test whether your own intro and outro are actually mixable. This is huge, because it turns I think it's DJ friendly into I just loop tested it like a DJ. Step 5. Build a reference matching loop before you arrange the whole track. This is one of the biggest beginner traps. Building a full arrangement around a drop that isn't competitive yet. So we do the opposite. We build a solid 8 or 16 bar drop loop first. Then we arrange. Start with drums. Create a drum group that includes a kick, snare, hats, a few perks or ghost notes, and optionally a break layer for texture. On the drum bus, a good stock chain is EQ8 to clean rumble with a high pass around 20 to 30 Hz, maybe a gentle dip if it's boxy somewhere around 200 to 400 Hz. Then drum bus with a little drive, and be careful with the boom, because it can mess with your sub. Then glue compressor, ratio 2 to 1, attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto and aim for just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Teacher tip, indeed NB, get the snare right first. The snare is the record clue. When the snare reads like a finished tune, the whole track suddenly feels more professional. Now bass, split it into SUB and MID bass. For sub, keep it clean and mono. Use operator with a sine wave. Add EQ8 and loop pass around 80 to 120 Hz to keep it pure. Then utility with bass mono on, and width at 0 if you want to be extra safe. For mid bass, use waveitable or operator. Add saturator with 2 to 6 dB of drive, soft clip on if it sounds good. Add auto filter and map cutoff to something you can automate. Then EQ8 with a high pass around 90 to 150 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub. Then utility for some width, but only if it survives mono. Now sidechain. Put a compressor on the sub, sidechained from the kick, ratio around 4 to 1, fast attack like 1 to 3 milliseconds, release around 60 to 120 milliseconds, and aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. Set the release to groove with the track. You're trying to create space, not a dramatic pumping effect. At this point, you have an 8-bar drop loop that you can compare to the reference drop. Optional sound design extra that's gold for beginners. The sub audibility trick. Duplicate your sub track and call it SUB harm. Put an EQ8 and high pass it around 90 to 120 Hz so it's no longer real sub. Then saturator it until you can hear it on small speakers. Keep it mono. Blend it in quietly. You're not making the sub louder. You're creating harmonics so the bass translates on phones and laptops, while the true sub stays clean. Step 6. Reference the right things, one at a time. This is where people lose the plot. They /B and think mine is worse, then they change 10 things at once. We're not doing that. We're going to loop a short section, like 4 to 8 bars around the drop, and focus on one variable for 60 seconds. First target, low-end relationship, kick versus sub. Put spectrum on your master. Look at roughly 30 to 120 Hz. Compare. Is your sub way louder than the reference? Is your kick disappearing or dominating? And do you have mud building up around 120 to 250 Hz? That low-mid area is where DNB can get thick and clumsy fast. Second target, snare level. In a live DNB, the snare feels on top of the mix, but not painfully sharp. Compare your snare impact to the reference. If yours feels small, don't just crank volume immediately. Try shaping transient with drum bus, or layering another snare for crack or air. Expansion tip. Think of snare layers like rolls. One layer for body and 150 to 250 area, one layer for crack around 1 to 3K, and one layer for air around 7 to 10K. Each layer can be quiet. Together they feel expensive. Third target, hat brightness and air. Compare the 8 to 12 Hz region. The NB hats can get crispy fast. If yours are harsh, try a small dip around 9 to 10K, or simply choose a less aggressive hat. Sometimes the best EQ move is sample selection. Fourth target, arrangement energy, phrase by phrase. Does something change every 16 or 32 bars like it does in the reference? Add fills near bar 15 or 16. Pull elements out for 1 or 2 bars before the drop. Add a crash at big section changes. These are the cues DJs and listeners feel, even if they can't describe them. Coach note, compare at multiple listening levels. Do a quick a slash be quiet. Quiet volume reveals balance, like kick and snare relationship and whether the hook is audible without sheer loudness. Medium volume shows tonal balance and groove. Loud, just briefly, reveals harsh hats, distortion, and sub overhang. If your track only works loud, your mid-range balance is probably off. Step 7. Build DJ-friendly intros and outros using the reference map. Now that your drop loop is feeling competitive, you can build the parts DJs actually need. A DJ-friendly intro recipe for 32 bars goes like this. Bars 1 to 16. Atmos and sparse percussion, and typically no full sub. Keep it mixable. Bars 17 to 32, add hats and maybe the light kick pattern, still mixable. And by bar 17, add a clear snare or clap pattern so DJs can lock in. A really clean Ableton trick is to put auto filter on your drum group and slowly open the cutoff across the intro. It feels like energy is increasing without you adding 10 new tracks. For Atmos, use reverb, but keep the low cut high, like 250 to 400 Hz, so you don't smear low mids and ruin clarity. Now outros. Outro recipe, remove your lead and mid bass first. Keep the drums steady. Keep some percussion texture so beat matching stays easy and fade Atmos, not drums. Most DJs prefer stable drums to mix out. And also, keep the last 32 bars less melodically busy. If your hook is still screaming in the outro, it can be harder to layer another tune cleanly. Expansion arrangement upgrade. Add a grid anchor early. DJs don't just need drums. They need a reliable counting reference. By bar 9 to 17, add one consistent element that stays steady for 16 bars, like a closed hat pattern or a rim on 2 and 4, or a simple snare roll cue into the next section. That's DJ proofing. Step 8. Do a club reality check inside Ableton. Make quick toggle checks on your master. First, mono check. Add utility and set width to 0. If your bass disappears or the track collapses, you've got important low-end information in stereo. Subs should be mono. Period. Second, low-end focus. Use EQ8 as a temporary bandpass. Low cut around 30 Hz, high cut around 160 Hz. Now you're basically listening like a club system focus. Kick and sub relationship. This audio version is shortened for playback.